there's a long profile written by Mina Kimes, who is somebody who I know Seth really likes, who works for ESPN.com. She's a really good writer.
She does
an excellent job. The story's interesting. I encourage you guys to check it out and read it. I'll probably tweet it out at some point today. It's about Baker Mayfield and just his personality, his background, his vibe, all that kind of stuff. Cecil, you're somebody who, you know Cleveland very well. You know mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, pretty well as far as a football player mm-hmm. goes. And I'm just wondering, can a franchise quarterback in this day and age in the NFL have the kind of personality consistently the way Baker Mayfield does?
I know it's a different time. It's a different generation. Things are different. People are different. People, dress differently now in the whole nine. But to me, I don't know if he can keep this up much longer. I just don't. Because right now, things are good. I mean, it's basically his rookie year last year. Nobody expected the Browns to win. They didn't really win, but they had a good spurt for the Browns, right? For
yes.
the Browns to...
At the end of the season,
they had a good spurt. I think they were a winning record as far as the last seven games or whatever the case may be after they fired Hugh Jackson. So and he played well. But now with everybody that they acquired in the offseason from Kareem Hunt to Odell Beckham, it's more pressure. It's more eyes on you now. And for you to be outlandish in stuff that you say on a consistent basis, whether it's your teammates' contract situation or him wanting to be traded, whether it's Sam Ellinger, say it right? Ellinger. I won't keep wanting to say Ellinger. Sam Ellinger and his with you. I understand you're an Oklahoma guy and you're having fun with that. But the more you speak out against people, the more you have this big chip on your shoulder, this humongous chip on your shoulder, which is can be a good thing. The more you will be critiqued, and the more they will throw it back in your face when things don't go your way. And I'm scared to see when they throw it back in his face, everything that's happening. How is he going to respond?
How does he react?
How does he react to that? And so for me, right now it may be cool, but over a 10-year, 12-year, hopefully 15-year career in Cleveland, where he brings us five Super Bowls, that's going to be a lot to handle.
Well,
that can ruin a career.
You know what we like to do in the media. We love to build people up.
Oh, yeah.
And then
tear you down.
And then we build you back up again.
Absolutely.
But with that whole thing, there's the buildup, and this has been the buildup.
Yes.
And there's so much buzz about the Browns heading into this season. And eventually there's going to be a fall at some point. We do this with everybody, especially like in the NBA. We build these guys up. Like when LeBron went to Miami, we crushed him.
Yep.
And then you look at Durant, you're like, oh, Kevin Durant, why can't LeBron just be more like Kevin Durant? Why can't he be more like this guy who comes into a press conference with a backpack on? Why can't he be more like the lovable young Kevin Durant who's signing contracts quickly and with no fanfare? And then... And including myself in this, Kevin Durant goes to Golden State. I can't believe this. This is a disgrace. This is ruining the NBA. We then tear him down.
Yep.
And now Kevin Durant has turned into a sympathetic figure because he got hurt.
Yep.
He tore his Achilles. We feel bad. Oh, my God. I can't believe how Golden State basically screwed up with his medical deal if they actually did that.
Yeah.
We love doing this. The build up, the tear down, and the build up again. And I wonder how Baker is going to deal with the tear down portion of it because – It comes for everybody.
Yes,
and it's probably unfair, especially the way I'm describing it. But that's just the way it is. I think it's kind of human nature, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think it's just a part of sports. Like I don't see it as unfair. It's just what it is. When you're playing well, when things are going well, we make good decisions or decisions that people agree with, you're going to be on the high horse. Everybody's going to support you. Everybody's oh, he's awesome. When you make a bad decision, when you make a mistake, when you're not playing well, they're going to tear you down. That's just part of it. That's part of being a professional athlete. So it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts from that because he's the type of guy that seems like he's not going to shy away from anything
at all.
Like he's going to come back and say whatever and do whatever. And I think he'll learn that if you don't respond to everything, it's not a bad thing. You don't have to respond. I'm not saying he does this, but you don't have to look at every single tweet and respond to every single tweet. Or you mentioned earlier in the show that when he looks looking for motivation, he looks up Colin Cowherd to see what he said about him.
Admitted that. He said, when I want to stir the pot, I'll click to see what Cowherd said lately because those guys have had a back and forth for like the last year.
And I think that's fun, right? I think they have a respect for each other. They might not like each other, but I think there's a respect there.
But sometimes whenever I've seen Baker, it feels to me like he gets, and this is why I'm not like Baker Mayfield, he feels like he gets a little... It feels to me, Cecil, like he gets a little bit too bothered by it.
That could be the case. And if you look at Baker's story, I mean, being a walk-on in two different places, Overlooked, overshadowed. I mean, he has this chip on his shoulder.
He does.
But I think he has to control that chip.
I wanted to get your perspective on this when it comes to Baker Mayfield, as we're discussing Mayfield, who I think is going to be one of the guys under the hottest of spotlights when the NFL season begins. Texans training camp starts in 7 days, a week from today. One other thing that stood out reading about Baker Mayfield in this profile on ESPN is how Mayfield's the kind of guy where you're either all in, and you're like in his camp, or he's not going to have a lot to do with you because you need to be like all in with him. Hopefully I'm explaining that properly. Do you think that a franchise quarterback in the NFL can be that way?
Explain that one more time. Basically, you're all in with him or you're against him.
Yes. That's the way it came across to me, that you're either all in with Baker Mayfield and you're like one of his guys.
Yeah.
And if you're like not even against him, but if you're like kind of like iffy, you're not 100%, then you're out.
Yeah, I get that from him. And the question is, can you be a franchise quarterback with that?
I don't think
with
so.
With doing that?
Yeah, that's my question to you.
I'm going to say no, because your focus is too much on other things then. So if you're not, you got to focus on the main thing. The main thing is you got to keep the main thing the main thing. So if you're focused on football, your family, and what's important, you'll know who's on your side. You don't have to worry about people that's with the naysayers or whatever the case may be. If he just focuses on that, you don't have to worry about who's in your corner, who's not. If you're not all in, then, oh, you can't be on my team. No, why does that even matter? That shouldn't matter to you. Like, every media personality shouldn't be all in your corner. Every media personality is not going to agree with you. Every newspaper article is not going to be for you. And that, if that's the case, you can't worry about that. Like, your attention and focus is off of football. When right now, as a Cleveland Browns fan, I need you focused as much as possible on this season coming up, because I predicted you to win 11 games. So I need you to win 11 games at the least.
Cleveland coming off a 7-8-1 season. By the way, they will open up against Tennessee. So obviously, like, a local connection there with what the Titans do in the AFC South on September the 8th, as we're a week away until training camp. Mad Radio, Cecil Shorts in for Seth Payne this morning. Time now for Mad Takes.
A look at the madness from around the world.
That is absurd.
These are Mad Radio's Mad Takes on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
I want to start going back to where we were 24 hours ago at this time. Big Baller Brand and some of the issues that they've been having. There were some viral photos on social media the other day about Big Baller Brand, LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball, their stuff being on like heavy clearance in these weird areas. So TMZ caught up with Kevin Leary, you know, the guy who's on Shark Tank, and they asked him about Big Baller Brand, and he had a kind of a surprising response.
Kevin, how are you today?
Very good.
How do you feel Big Baller Brand? Is the end imminent for them?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
It's forever, you know. It's part of culture. It's going to stay around. It's going to go up and down. That's just the nature of it.
Yeah, but I mean, all the news came out about LeVar selling $5 shirts in L.A. So
there is no bad news anymore. When you get controversial news that comes out and people go nuts on social with it, it's very hard for that not to be good for you long term. It's so noisy out there that what I think a lot of these people are doing is trying to create controversy. So they get a ton of social media and a lot of traffic. Even if you think it's bad news, it's not. It's very hard to have bad news anymore.
So this is good. This is actually good for a Triple B brand?
Yes.
All right, that's Kevin O'Leary, who was talking to TMZ. Is there any bad news anymore? Is there any bad news anymore? Yes. I still think there's bad news.
There's definitely bad news. If if Big Baller Brand is going broke or whatever, it's failed, that's bad news. It might bring attention to them. They might have, you know, they might be the talk of the town, but that's still bad news.
I agree. I think some of these marketing guys can get a little ahead of themselves with some of this talk. There can be bad news.
Yeah.
And I think Big Baller Brand selling their stuff at a big clearance, especially a year and a half after starting this whole thing, is probably not great news for them.
It's only been that less. It hasn't been long at all, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, it's been a year and a half since Lonzo's been in the league. It's been 2 years since he declared for the draft. So, yeah, in a pretty short time period.
Wow. So that's a pretty epic fail. So that's bad news.
Kevin O'Leary says they will be back and better than ever, and there is no more bad news in 2019.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We will see indeed.
This is madness!
So, I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know. So, in the AFC Championship game last year, New England Patriots versus the Kansas City Chiefs, there was a green laser pointed at Tom Brady. Did you know that?
When I saw this, I was thinking, did I know this at one point and just put this out of my mind? I don't remember knowing this.
I don't remember reaction. I don't remember any talk about this at all. But long story short, a 64-year-old Kansas City Chiefs fan, Dwayne Brown, was pleading.
Dwayne Morgan.
Ooh, why did I say Brown?
You were thinking of the former Texans left tackle.
I guess that just came naturally. Dwayne Morgan pleaded guilty yesterday. And for him pleading guilty, he avoided jail time. So apparently there's this picture. And it's pretty clear of the green light on Tom Brady and his eyesight. But I'm just wondering, how close was he? And where was he in the... Because Kansas City is a pretty big stadium. But where was he to get this light? I mean, maybe I'm just being silly, but I just don't know how that light reached all the way to Tom Brady and reached his face like that.
Well, whenever I think about this, I always think about Brock Osweiler in Mexico City in 2016 with the laser pointer issues, which made that whole thing even more fun than it already was, that he had to deal with the lasers. I guess these things, because I'm looking at the photo of Brady right now, and he's got like the green laser, like basically all over his face.
Yeah.
These things seem like they're pretty powerful. We're very similar ages. Did people where you went when you went to school, did they bring laser pointers into school?
Little red lasers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That definitely was in school. But it has to be more powerful than that. Because I mean, you're in the stands. But how do you get that in the stadium?
Well, you sneak it in somehow. The security is not that great. Let's be honest.
It's not that great.
It's not. Just between us. I mean, I don't think it's that great.
Well, long story short, he avoided jail time and only had to pay $500 in fines.
I have a hot take on this.
Talk to me.
Dwayne Morgan, good job by you. Dwayne Morgan, good job by you. The last thing we needed was the Patriots in the Super Bowl again. Dwayne Morgan, good job by you.
It almost worked.
It almost worked, if not for Dee Ford getting offsides.
Why do you hate the Patriots so much? Tell me. What is this with the Patriots?
Let's see. I mean, they started winning in 2001, and they're still winning with the same freaking quarterback.
And coach.
And nobody else in the league can figure it out. And every time the Texans play them, they always lose.
Yeah.
What is there to like? That's why I'm so angry. Good job by you, Dwayne Morgan. Keep pointing that laser. I don't know if you saw the war of words between Alabama and Clemson with SEC Media Days, ACC Media Days going on at the same time. So Dylan Moses, the Alabama linebacker, he dismissed the idea that Clemson was the better team than Alabama in the national championship game. Now, Clemson killed them 44-16. Dylan Moses says it was more preparation. I wouldn't say they were a better team. And he doubled down. He said that, in fact, the last couple of years, Georgia was the hardest team that he has played in college football. I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, when you lose 44-16 on the biggest stage, I don't think you can be saying things like this.
No, I agree. The better team won. It's not like it was a close game and a Hail Mary won it or whatever case may be. Y'all got blew out. The game wasn't close from jump. From the pick six on, the game was not close at all.
Yep.
And for you to say that is like, you know, to be honest, I think not the rest of the NCAA, but teams are catching up to Alabama.
Do you think teams are catching up or Clemson is caught up?
Clemson is caught up. I think Georgia's catching up. I think they haven't been there yet. But Georgia's catching up. They're getting the athletes. They're getting the players that Alabama used to get all the time, where they were 6-7 deep at running back or whatever the case may be. They're going different places to play.
I think you're 100% right. I think two teams have caught up. Clemson is clearly caught up, arguably past Alabama.
Yeah.
And Georgia's right there. They just happen to have lost the last two times. But Georgia has been right there. They should not have lost both of those games.
Yeah, but that game, it wasn't even close, Mike. Like, it wasn't even a...
I know, it wasn't close.
So for you to say that, it's like a...
Tua was bad.
Tua was... And he worries me. I haven't seen him play big in a big game, in my opinion, in a while.
What about the first national title game? When he came in,
it wasn't no pressure on him.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
As a starter,
start to finish, he's been hurt a lot, and I haven't seen him play very well in a big game. So I'm interested to see how he does this year.
That's an interesting point. And there'll be a big spotlight on Tua because he's going to go into the season as the presumed number one overall pick, since Trevor Lawrence still has two more years of eligibility before he can declare.
This is madness.
So this. I got a take here on Floyd Mayweather, and I can't pronounce this UFC fighter's name. But I believe it's Khabib. So Mayweather, I guess, has been reaching out to Khabib's manager over and over again, trying to get a boxing match set up. And my issue is, I think this hurts Mayweather's legacy. I'm a huge Floyd Mayweather fan when it comes to boxing. I think he's one of the best to ever do it. Probably not the best, because it's some gray area there, but he's undefeated. The best boxer I've seen in my lifetime. Somebody that is a defense fighter and was a master at doing it. He could hit you and be successful with it and get points, and you could not hit him. But you're killing your legacy if you continue to try to fight these UFC fighters that don't even box. Like, what are you doing? What is the point of even doing this? Now, I understand he's a money-hungry guy.
Doesn't he have enough money?
But, like, if you're going to retire, just retire and go somewhere on an island. Go buy an island and just live there. Like, go disappear. But him keep trying to fight these guys makes it think that maybe he needs money. Maybe he's not as rich as we think he is. Maybe he spent too much money. Or to me, he's killing his legacy. Because if he messes around and loses to one of these UFC guys,
yeah,
that's a loss. And your last memory of Floyd Mayweather won't be him going 50-0 or 49-0. It would be him losing to a UFC fighter.
Are we definitely believing the UFC fighter side of this? Or are they possibly trying to, like, hype up? Again, this is an area for me where I'm not, like, an expert on it. I for the record, I did enjoy the Mayweather and McGregor fight.
Because you did?
I did, because I felt like it was, you know, maybe this is insensitive to say, but it's kind of like if you go to a zoo and you're like, you know what would happen if we had, like, an elephant and a tiger fight one another? Like, what exactly would happen? Like, it's weird, right? Because you have a UFC fighter and a boxer,
yes,
in a boxing match. So yes, there was a real novelty to it. I felt like it was like one of those, like, circuses they had back, like, 100 years ago, like at the World's Fair.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed actually watching that fight. But I feel like it was a novelty, a one-time deal.
Yes.
Mayweather should be done. The boxers staying around too long, including Pacquiao, is annoying. Like, stop. There should be a commissioner who forces them to stop fighting.
I forgot about Pacquiao. He got to fight this weekend.
Does he?
He got to fight Saturday.
Stop fighting. Just stop. Enough already. The Mike Meltzer, commissioner of sports, says, Pacquiao, enough already. You're done. You were done 8 years ago. Stop fighting.